I want to give you a Jack Frost quote right out of his book. I thought it was good. He says, "We are all born with an orphan heart that rejects parental authority and seeks independently to do everything on our own." Would you agree with that? Last night we talked about the prodigal son, actually the prodigal father, the son that was the wayward son, the son that stayed at home. And I submitted to you last night that both of those sons were operating out of an orphan spirit or an orphan heart. I believe Jack's right. I believe he's telling us the truth when we can realize every one of us is born with an orphan heart, an orphan spirit, an orphan mindset that seeks to reject, as he says, parental authority. That's where it first shows up. I got three boys at the house. I got an 11-year-old, I got an 8-year-old, and I got a 4-year-old. It doesn't take long for this thing to start to show up. Have you noticed that? Some of y'all got kids? Do you see anything inside that child that wants to reject parental authority? Come on, I know I'm talking to somebody. Y'all sitting there like a cow looking at a new gate. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's something within every one of us that it's just there. At a very early age, the Bible says that iniquity's bound up in the heart of a child. And it is. Every one of us is born with this condition, the result of Adam and Eve and the garden and all that stuff. We talked about before while I was here. But as a result of the fall, as a result of sin, we now have a condition whereby we reject authority. And it begins in the home. It begins with mom and daddy. Now, having said that, it plays out in different ways. Because I was that prodigal son. I was the one who left home at 16 and ran the roads because that's the way it manifested in my life. Does that make sense? I have a brother who it manifested differently in his life. My brother Mark was the middle boy, and he did any and everything he could to try and please and to get acceptance and approval and validation from our father. Does that make sense? But it's the same orphan heart that's longing for the acceptance, the approval, the validation from the father. It manifests in different ways. It may manifest in rebellion, or it may manifest in drivenness and performance to seek that acceptance and that approval. But it's the same heart that's motivating all of the actions. That makes sense. So we saw examples of that last night in the story of what we call the prodigal son, the younger brother and the older brother. Neither one of them having the true intimacy with the father that was needed and wanted by the father. So I believe Jack's right when he says we're all born with this condition, where while we reject a parental authority and seek to independently do everything on our own. You recognize that in your heart? I have recently, there's a lady in our church, and I'll just be frank with you. You know, I wasn't that interested in what she was doing, to be honest with you. But she does temperament studies. And she stayed on me. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. You need this. It'll be good for you. You can use this in your ministry. And she kept on and kept on and kept on. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Give me the test. I'll take it. So me and my wife both took the temperament test. And I kind of thought that would solve the problem. Well, now she wants to meet with us, right? So go out. You got the results back. We need to get together. We need to sit down. We need to talk about the results of your test. All right, we will. This went on for about 6 months before we could ever find the time to get together and sit down. Well, we finally did it. We sat down together. One of the first things she said to me, she looked at me and she says, "You have a compulsive need. It's more than a need. It's a drive within you. You don't let nobody tell you what to do." I didn't like that too much. But she hit me right between the eyes. Because it's the truth. That's a part of my temperament. I got new terminology now. It's a part of my temperament. If you want to get me to do something, don't tell me to do it.
That make sense? I mean, you might have 3 acres of woods that you need me to come help you with a grubbing hoe clean out. If you call me and say, hey, Mitch, I'm in desperate need. Would you come help me? I'll be there tomorrow. I will. That's how I am. But if you call me and say, listen, I'm your friend. I've helped you do this, this, that, and the other. I got 3 acres that needs doing tomorrow. I expect you to be at my house at 8 o'clock tomorrow, and we're going to get it done. Guess what? I ain't coming. That's just how I'm wired. Does that make sense? So here's what I'm trying to say about this temperament thing. I believe it's accurate. I believe it's true. But I believe what she is zeroing in on and nailing me between the eyes with is not the nature and the character of my father, but it's the nature and character of this orphan heart that still needs to be set free. Does that make sense? Because I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been walking with God and how deep your relationship with God is. I promise you, there's still some work needs to be done. Ain't none of us where we need to be. Would you agree with me? So let's go ahead and establish up front that the orphan heart, the orphan spirit, is something that every one of us has. It's here. It's present. It drives and dictates how we live our life. Causes us a lot of problems. We'll look at some of that in just a minute. But it's a present with us. I want to submit to you that it didn't start with us. So I want to say the orphan heart, the orphan spirit, was brought into creation by the original orphan, Lucifer. Now, I know when I was here and I taught on the E of restored, we looked at this scripture, but I want to back up and look at it again today from the mindset and the perspective of the orphan heart. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. I'm going to read 13 and 14, and we're going to tear it apart briefly. I'm going to try to keep it at least 7 or 8 peppermints tonight, all right? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. Notice in verse 13, first thing he says is, I will ascend into heaven. The first characteristic that we see in this orphan heart that was birthed in Lucifer is self-will. It's selfish. I'm going to do what I want to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, again, I know you in church. I know you Christians. I know you on Tuesday night here at church. You good folks. But can you find within yourself this mindset, this spirit that maybe occasionally, maybe it's not ruling your life, but occasionally it's here. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's self-will. That make sense? I struggle with this. I'll be honest with you. Like I just told you, you asked me to do something, I'll help you, but don't tell me what to do. I want to dig my heels in, even if I know it's the right thing. I'll just be honest. Now, I fight against this, but even if I know it's the right thing you're telling me to do, hey, something in me don't want to do it just because you're telling me to do it. Self-will. I will ascend into heaven. I'm going to do what I want to do. I remind you that Lucifer was created by God. He was a created being designed to serve a mission and a function that God created him for. God had a will for his life. That make sense? And I want to say to you, God's got a will for your life too. God's got a will for my life. But the orphan spirit shows up to say, I'm going to do what I want to do. It is self-will. Number 2, in verse 13, he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is self-exaltation. Second aspect of the orphan spirit, the orphan heart, self-will and self-exaltation. What's exaltation mean? I'm going to lift myself up. Here's how we say it. I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. There's an old Charlie Daniels song. You know, I ain't never asked nobody for nothing, and I ain't going to, right? How's it go? I can't even come to me now. But if I can't get it on my own, you know, if I can't do it, if I can't accomplish it, if I can't establish it, if I can't do it by myself, on my own, with my own strength and my own efforts, I ain't asking nobody else for nothing, I'm going to exalt myself. I ain't going to look around and say, you helped me get here. If I got there, I know I did it by myself. Does that make sense? Self-exaltation. So we've got self-will. I'm going to do what I want to do. We've got self-exaltation. I'm going to be responsible for my own life. I'm going to lift myself up. I'm going to move up the ladder in my own strength, in my own ability. Are you with me? Number three, verse 13. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. That's the self-enthronement. It's a big fancy word I wouldn't use much, but I'm going to sit on what? On a throne. I'm going to enthrone myself. What he's literally saying is, I am the Lord of my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be king. I'm going to self... Come on, kick in. Self-enthronement. I'm going to enthrone myself. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm the king of my life. I told you about my cousin Phil. Talked to him on the way over here. Still doing awesome. He shared this with me in our conversations. He said, I used to tell my wife and my kids, this is my world and you live in it. Sound familiar? That's self-enthronement. This is my house, my rules, my way, my world. You live in it. He's the king. Now, he's one of the only people who would actually confess that, declare that in public. But isn't that something we can all identify with? This is me. It shows up in a lot of ways. How dare you talk to me that way? You ever said that? What are you saying? Don't you know who I am? I'm the king. I'm important. I'm significant. I'm special. How dare you talk to me that way? Guys, that's the orphan heart at work. Does that make sense? Verse 14. I will be like the Most High. Self-deification. I'm God. I'm God. Now, I know I'm talking to Christians again, and we know He's God, but I give you an old quote you've probably heard before. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. You ever heard that? I believe C.S. Lewis was the author of that, if I'm right. We can say He's God. We can sing all the right hymns. We can enter into times of worship. We can read our Bible. We can pray. We can do our devotions. We can do everything we're supposed to do. But is He truly God? Or have I made myself the God of my life? This is the orphan spirit. This is the orphan mindset. This is where it started. It started with Lucifer. Now, Paul tells us in Romans 5:12 that by one man, sin entered into the world. And this is a part of that sin that entered. This same mindset, this same orphan heart came in through Adam. And now as a result of our lineage back to Adam, every one of us have the orphan heart. Does that make sense? So it really presents a challenge because our quest here, guys, is not to regain a sonship relationship with the Father because we've never had it. You can't regain what you never possessed to begin with. Does that make sense? When I'm born with an orphan mindset, an orphan heart, that's the only way I know life to be. Are you with me? Every thought I've ever possessed was birthed and rooted out of an orphan heart. So I'm not talking about trying to regain something. because I can't regain what I never possessed. That makes sense. Our quest is to enter into the embrace of the unconditional love of our Father, our Daddy, to receive a heart of sonship that will displace and remove the orphan heart. You tracking with me? I'm not trying to regain something I'm lost. I'm trying to enter into something I've never had before. This is important. Because if I have an orphan mindset and an orphan spirit in operation, I'm going to do what I want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm exalting myself. I'm enthroning myself. I am deifying myself. And it's going to be desperately hard for me to begin to try and do something that I have no reference for whatsoever. It requires a word none of us like, and it's submission. The opposite of the orphan heart and the orphan mindset that is exemplified by Lucifer's statement here is one of submission. I submit to my Father. Does that make sense? If I'm going to deal with this orphan heart, I'm telling you, here's how we got to start. We got to come before our Father and say, I realize that I do not have any frame of reference whatsoever for what I'm asking for. But I realize that where I am is not where I need to be. I know that if I'm going to ever change the orphan heart into a heart of a son or a daughter, it's only going to come by your unconditional love, by me somehow learning how to receive your love and allowing your love to so transform my heart that I no longer have the orphan spirit and the orphan mindset. Does that make sense? I'm not talking about conversion. How many of you know you can be saved and still have this same mindset at work? You can be saved, you can be born again, you can be spirit-filled and still have, matter of fact, I don't know if the name Derek Prince means anything to you. Derek Prince is one of my heroes of the faith. Derek Prince is just a remarkable man of God, had a tremendous successful ministry, taught emphatically on the love of the Father. But in his own words, he says, it was not till I was 80 years old. This is a man who had a ministry spanning 40, 50 years, tremendously successful ministry, seeing people healed, saved, delivered. Not until he was 80 years old. And he describes the encounter that he had with God that night. And in his own words, he says this: theologically, I understood the love of God. Theologically, I taught it. I taught it with passion. But it wasn't until this experience, and here's how he described it, his own words. He said, it was like an arm came down and removed a black skull cap from the top of my head. And from that day forward, I did not just understand that I was loved. I knew that I was loved. That makes sense? Now, I'm telling you, what I'm trying to describe, again, is something we may not have ever experienced. Because we're not born with this. We're born with the orphan heart. There's something that needs to be removed. There's an experience that we need to have with the Almighty Living God that transforms us from the inside out, that removes the barrier, removes the hindrance, so that His love is able to flow through our hearts and transform us, not intellectually, but experientially, by His presence, not principle. Are you with me? So I realize, do you realize that we're tackling somewhat of a difficult topic and a difficult move to move from our current position of the orphan heart and the orphan mindset into the full embrace of the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father? That's why I told you in this time together, we've got to throw out every
preconceived notion and idea of who we think God to be and allow His Word and His truth to reveal to us who He truly is in His nature and in His character. It is the love of God, the goodness of God that brings us to a place of repentance. We established that last night, right? It's the goodness of God that moves on my heart. It's the love of God that so transforms me from the inside out that I am a different man. I know the love of God, not just intellectually, but experientially. You with me? Not in my notes, but John says this in 1 John. We have both known and believed the love that God has for us. Know implies this. We have both known and believed. Believed implies a depth of experience with the knowledge. Does that make sense? Guys, I'm not asking you if you know God loves you. Because everybody in here say, yeah, I know God loves me. I can sing a song, Jesus loves me. This I know, right? I can sing it. I know from a very early age, I know God loves me. He loves all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. We taught all these songs as little kids. I know God loves me. But I'm here to tell you there is a hindrance, there is a block to you receiving that love, and I'm describing it and using the phrase orphan heart, orphan spirit to identify that block. Does that make sense? Philippians 2. Turn with me, please. Let me get a little of this water while you turn. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. We've just looked at Lucifer, who was created perfect by our Heavenly Father. And we see his response to the will of God, the mission of God in his life. I will exalt myself. Self-will. Self-exaltation. Self-enthronement. Self-deification. Philippians 2 describes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His approach to the mission that God gave Him in His life. Look with me in Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let's pause here for a minute. You do realize that Jesus is the second member of the Godhead, God the Word. Now, yes, He emptied Himself to become a man, to become Jesus. But He understood His position. He knew who He was. He knew His identity. He is God. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us that we're looking at. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is the opposite of I will, self-will. This is the opposite of self-exaltation and everything else we've described. He made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant. Have you ever really stopped to consider this? You know, I'm glad in the Free Will Baptist world we still wash feet. I believe it's one of the most beautiful experiences you can have. But have you ever really stopped to consider what took place on the night that we look back to and commemorate in our foot washing? Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead, took upon himself to come and humble himself, to get on his knees in front of this ragtag bunch of fools that he'd been struggling with and dealing with for 3 years. And he begins to wash their feet. Do you see this?
Only a son can operate this way. An orphan heart will never serve others without an ulterior motive. Did you hear what I just said? An orphan heart cannot humble themselves and serve another unless there's something in it for them. But this is not what Jesus did. Jesus served not for himself, not for his exaltation, not for his glorification, but for ours. Do you see the difference in the orphan heart and the heart of a son? He was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Submission requires obedience. An orphan hears obedience and they think, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. Isn't that what obedience is? It's a rule. That's what a rule is. The Ten Commandments. You're commanding me 10 things I've got to do. An orphan heart digs in their heels and says, you're not going to tell me what to do. But a heart of a son understands that it's not a command of a master, but it's the guidance of a father. A father's heart has already captivated. The love of the father has captivated the heart of the son. And whatever the father says, the son is willing and desires to do. Because he's humbled himself. He's not deifying, glorifying, exalting himself. He's humbled himself. His entire purpose and mission in life is to serve the master. To honor the master. To love the father. Honor the father. Does that make sense? He humbles himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't have time to fully develop this, but let me explain something to you. When the Father has a mission for you and you submit to and become obedient to the mission of the Father, even if it doesn't make sense, death on the cross sure didn't make a lot of sense from an earthly perspective. The disciples sure struggled with it. You remember when Jesus explained to Peter what was about to happen, what did Peter say? No, this shall never happen to you. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You savor not the things of God, but the things of the earth. The whole concept that Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, is going to die? No. Yet Jesus was willing to humble himself, become obedient even unto death, death on the cross. And what was the result? God exalted him. God lifted him up. The orphan always tries to exalt himself. The son waits on the father's exaltation. Do you hear me? And I promise you, I ain't got time, so I'm going to keep it short tonight. I promise you, whatever it is you can manufacture, whatever it is you can do to exalt yourself, it pales in comparison to what the Father wants to exalt you to. But you must first come in humility and obedience before the exaltation comes. Does that make sense? Guys, there's a long journey to becoming a son. There's a long journey to the transformation of our hearts and our minds, where we walk in submission to the authority of our Father. How do we get there? How do we move from the orphan heart and the orphan mindset to the mindset of the Son that Jesus demonstrates here? It begins with one statement that Jesus said, and what I believe is the most trying moment of his life. I know when we think of the temptation of Christ, we think of the three in the wilderness. But the strongest temptation that my Savior faced was in that Garden of Gethsemane. When he knew what was approaching, he knew what the submission and obedience to death on the cross was going to mean to him as a man. Don't get in your mind, this is Jesus, he's God, this was no big deal for him. This was a human being being led by the Spirit of God. And he knew the excruciating reality of what lay before him. And yet he was able to say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Guys, if we're going to move from the orphan mindset and move into the heart of a son, we have to start right here. We have to humble ourselves, get before our Father, and say, I realize every way of thinking in my mind is rooted in sin. It's rooted in rebellion. It's rooted in an orphan mindset. So, Father, not anything I think, but everything you think. Not my will, but yours be done. Submission and obedience has to begin there. Are you with me? Now, I know this isn't very popular, but I'm going to tell you, if you want to move from the reality of the orphan heart to the reality of the heart of a son and a daughter who knows experientially the love of the Father, it must start here. You got to draw a line in the sand and say once and for all, from here on out, I'm all in with you. All in. I don't even ask people anymore, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? I use that phrase. Have you ever gone all in for God? I'm honestly amazed sometimes at the answers I get back. I mean, people sit right there and look me dead in the eye and say, no, I'm probably about 60-40. Maybe 70-30. I'm like, which one's 70 and which one's 30? Well, I'm probably 70% in with God. Well, you're 30% a fool then. I mean, I'm sorry. What I'm telling you guys is this. And I tell people that come and sit down with me, this is what I've got. This is what I do. If you're not interested in this, I can't help you. It has to start right here. If you want to go with God, it's got to be all in, 100%. Push all your chips to the middle of the table and say, I'm giving up everything that I know, that I believe, that I think, and I'm going all in with you, who you are, how you think. Y'all heard me say this how many times? Any way of thinking that doesn't match how God thinks is a form of insanity. It's true. Bill Johnson out of Bethel, Reading, says it this way, I can't afford to have any thought in my mind that's not in his. I love that. Because, guys, that's what a son is. I'm all after him. It's all about him. I have submitted my will. I have laid down my will. I have given up everything for you. You're my Father. This is why I taught you last night. It is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. Because I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, from my perspective, you cannot beat in hellfire and brimstone somebody into full submission to God. You can't do it. Can't. It's only the love that opens my heart so that I can go all in to a loving Father. It is the fear, the rejection, the abandonment, the hurt, the abuse that we've experienced in our lives that have built the walls around our heart. If those walls are going to come down in relationship to my Heavenly Father, I've got to know He loves me. He's not going to treat me the way I've been treated. He's not going to deal with me the way I've been dealt with. He's different. Everything that I know and I've experienced has to go because he is radically different. Does that make sense? All in. Not my will, but your will be done. How we doing? How many have we got over? How many I got left? I got a lot of scripture. I'm going to just try to not to preach and read to you. Look with me in John chapter 14. I'm still on my first piece of candy. I got eight more to go. John 14. If you're serious about this, don't just listen to what I got to say. You go home and read this for yourself. And spend some time in John 14, 15, 16, 17. Just read the whole book. But John 14, I'm going to try and just read. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I told you, an orphan doesn't have a home. Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place. There's a home. There's a home prepared. What was the old hymn we used to sing? I got a mansion just over in glory. Right? I got a home. There's a place prepared for me. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Father is what we're talking about. Moving in relationship, not just with Jesus, but with the Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I told you, you want to know what the Father looks like? Look at Jesus. He exemplified perfectly the nature and the character of our Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Stay with me. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Again, orphan heart can't handle this. Orphan heart says, I got to prove my love to you by doing what you tell me to do. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you're in relationship with me and the Father, the commandments, the will of God, how God thinks is going to flow in your life. You with me? I'll pray the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth within you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm telling you guys, it's not intellectual knowledge. It's not principles that transform us. It is the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence inside of us. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you have other translations that may read differently, because that word comforted literally means orphan, parentless. I will not leave you as an orphan. How is Jesus saying he's going to deal with this orphan heart? I'm leaving. I'm going back to the Father.
I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm leaving, sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm coming to you. Guys, I know we're Free Will Baptists, but there's the Holy Ghost. There's the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, apart from the Holy Spirit of God in your life, you will always walk as an orphan. You always will. You cannot regain this because you've never had it. This has to be experienced. The love of the Father is poured out in our hearts through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. How do I embrace the reality of the Holy Spirit? I submit my will to the Father. And the moment I do, the Holy Spirit's there. He's already there. But the Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart the miraculous, the transformation, the working that only He can do. I'm telling you, 5 seconds with the Holy Spirit of God in an experiential moment will radically change you that 5 years of gaining knowledge and understanding cannot touch. The Holy Spirit is what I need. I need this relationship, this intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God and my Father. Are you with me? I'm hurrying. You know what it means when I say I hurry? Not a whole lot. Hebrews 12. I'm almost done, really, seriously. Hebrews 12. It's in here. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race, at least for where we are right now, is the move from the orphan heart to the heart of a son or a daughter. What's he saying? There's a great cloud of witnesses. I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe this verse signifies possibly that my daddy is standing in heaven. My father, the same man that caused so much trouble in my life, the same one that I butted heads with, the same one that abused me, the same one that spoke all those words to me that created a much of this hardness around my heart. I believe that man is standing in heaven today, and he's looking through the portal, if you will, down on me and down on you, and he's saying, you can do this, boy. You can do this. If he could come back and stand before me right now, knowing what he knows now, he would repent with everything he has for everything he said and everything he done that gave the enemy a right to come build a wall around my heart. He would say to me, your Father loves you. The Holy Ghost loves you. The Holy Spirit of God is here. Run to it. Embrace it. Set aside everything. Let nothing hinder you to move out of this orphan heart, out of this orphan mindset, into the full, firm embrace of your loving Father. Don't let anything hold you back. It's here. It's available for me and you. There is a place. There's a home in the heart of God that is available. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Are you with me? I am going to get you out of here. It just came to mind as I was saying that. One of the ways that we really have to deal with this is forgiving those who've hurt us. The orphan spirit has built walls around our heart. One of the ways we're going to have to do, to deal, one of the things we're going to have to deal with in order to move from the orphan heart to the heart of the son or daughter, I got to forgive. I got to release those people that have harmed me, that have hurt me, that have created within me mindsets and ways of thinking that have shut my heart down to God and others. I got to forgive them.
I got to let it go, and I got to connect with him, and I got to let him heal me. Now, obviously, that's not a one-time moment. That's a process. That is a race. We got to be patient in this journey. But don't let anything stand in your way. Pursue the relationship. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's our example. He went through what he went through. I can look to him. I can follow him. He's the author. He's the finisher of this experience, this thing called faith and my relationship with God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Hear me now. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You want me to test you real quick and see if you've got an orphan heart? Here's how you can do it. Let me talk to you just a minute, one-on-one, personally. You know, I've noticed there's some stuff going on in your life. That's not good for you. And I just want to talk to you about it. And let's see, can't we do something to help you deal with this? Anytime you're rebuked, it will reveal to you how deep the orphan heart goes. Does that make sense? I'm telling you. This thing was so deep in me. I remember. I'm watching the time. I'd begin my journey of healing. I already had. I was understanding this intellectually, beginning to receive it to some degree experientially. And I was working at the ministry in Thompliston. And in the role that I was playing at that time, one of my responsibilities was to just kind of monitor what was going on in the room while the program was running. So I was just sitting there listening and watching, and I got a text on my phone. It was the program director saying, can you come to my office, please? That's all it was. Just one simple little text. Can you come to my office, please? What do you think started going on inside of me? What have I done? What did I mess up? I mean, just all these thoughts. Instantly, the orphan spirit, the orphan heart, begins to rise, because I'm afraid that I'm going to walk in that office and I'm going to get corrected on something. Something that I've not done right is pinpointed. Something that I haven't quite achieved correctly is going to be highlighted, and I can't stand it. I can't handle it. The orphan heart, the orphan spirit can't. It cannot receive rebuke. It cannot receive correction. Does that make sense? I mentioned my temperament study. Another thing she said to me I ain't like much was this. You have a compulsive need to appear competent. I'm glad I'd done some work on the orphan heart, because that cuts deep. But you know what? She's right. Then she went a little deeper, a little further. I mean, she's just digging. She's like, I'm not suggesting that you're all that concerned about being competent. You just want to appear competent. She's right. Now, thank be to God, I'd already figured that out. But that's the first person I ever had look me in the eyeball and tell me that. Right? In my heart, in my journey, in my relationship with God, God had revealed to me one of the deepest rooted issues in my life is fear of incompetence. That's the terminology I had that I was working on with my daddy. So here comes this lady with her temperament study that I didn't care nothing about and just nailed me right between the eyes.
You have a compulsive need to appear competent.
What does that mean? It means I know I'm not, but I sure don't want to look that way. Is that what you're telling me? Truth is, I am competent in many areas. But there's some areas I'm not competent in. How about you? But I sure don't want to let you know it. I don't want to advertise it. I don't want to bring it out in the open, because weakness implies I'm not good enough. Insufficiencies imply that I've not what I need to be. Why? Because I'm still operating out of an orphan heart and an orphan mind. Does that make sense? A son knows the father loves him unconditionally. A son knows he's accepted, validated, and approved of in his strengths and in his weaknesses. Do you realize you're not supposed to be strong in everything? You realize that? What good would it do if you could do everything perfectly? You wouldn't need God. You wouldn't need each other. Guys, I'm telling you, we need one another. We need God, and we need one another. This whole orphan mindset of independence, self-reliance, self-exaltation, all this self-mess has to go. The only way we can do this is when we realize we're made for relationship with a living God. A father who loves us. We're made to be in relationship with other people who are not perfect, who have flaws and strengths and weaknesses, but we're made to complement one another and together become everything this world needs. We are not islands, but an orphan will always remain so. Are you with me? I'm almost done. How many times have I said that tonight? You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Why? Because we need correction. I just told you every way of thinking that doesn't match how God thinks is a form of insanity. And how many of you know most of your thinking don't match his? So how is our thinking going to be corrected if he doesn't correct us? We need it. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God to pinpoint and highlight in my life and in yours every area that doesn't line up with who he is and how he thinks. I desperately need it, and he's desperately willing to do it because he loves me that much. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Here's what I realize as I read this scripture. The mindset I used to operate out of, when I left home at 16, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do it my own way. I wanted to be a bastard. That's because I believed that's what I was. I believed my mindset, this conflict of my identity was so jacked up that I believed I was worthless. I believed there was nobody that really loved me. Nobody really could care about me. Nobody really had what my best interest at heart. It was all about me. So if I can just say it this way without being too crude, I didn't want nobody speaking into my life because I wanted to be an island. I wanted to be alone. I used to tell my wife I should have never got married. I should have just been a long-haul trucker, stayed on the road from West Coast to East Coast. That's the way I should have lived my life. I'm sure she enjoyed hearing that. But that's where I was at that point in my life. Why? Because I was so convinced you guys were the enemy. Nobody could tell me what to do. I didn't trust anybody. I had to deal with this and come to this place where I realized I'm not a bastard. I'm not.
I got a father. My father is in heaven. My father loves me. My father has promised to continue to guide and correct me in every step of this journey because he loves me. If God's not correcting you, you're in a bad place. If the Spirit of God is not bringing chastisement and scourging, to use this terminology, I'll soften it for you. If the Spirit of God is not bringing conviction and guiding you in the places of your life where you're off base, you are in a dangerous position because you can't live this life without him. You cannot ever be fulfilled, complete without him. You need him. Are you with me? If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father, when the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Subjection means to be subordinate, to obey, to be under obedience, to submit self unto. Look at the list that you got, that I gave you real quick. Our time's running out. I know it's late. I know it's Tuesday night. Y'all done worked hard all day like I have. I want to give this to you because I want you to be able to look at this and examine your own heart. Here's what I want you to do with it. Not just look through it, stick in your Bible. Spend some time with this. Those of you who are around, you remember I teach repentance as a change of mind that results in a change of action. The first step in repentance is recognition. I've got to recognize. That's what this list is for. To help me begin to recognize areas in my life where I'm still operating out of the heart of an orphan. So I can see it. I can recognize it. I can come before my Father then and I can take responsibility for it. I can say, God, I see this. It's here. It's in my life. I don't like it. I don't want it, but it's here. I see it. I take responsibility for it. And Father, I repent. I get on my face. I get on my knees before you. And I'm telling you, this has to go. I want it to change. I want it to be removed out of my heart and out of my life. I repent. I renounce the lie of the enemy. I renounce everything that the enemy has brought into my life. I'm telling it to go. I don't need it. I don't want it. And I'm going to renew my mind by looking at the other side of the paper. Father, I have seen you as a master. Now teach me what it looks like to see you as a loving father. Does that make sense? Father, I've seen you. Or I've been independent. I've been self-reliant. I've tried to live this life on my own apart from you. God, I don't want to do that anymore. I see it. I recognize it. I repent. I want it gone. And God, help me to be interdependent. Help me to acknowledge the needs that I have. You know, there's a scripture. God says he promises to meet our needs according to his riches and glory. You remember that scripture? You know why that scripture is there? Because we have needs. That's profound, right? We have needs. Self-reliance, independence implies you don't need nothing. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You have need. And need is not a weakness. Need is built into you, created into you, so you can be interdependent and acknowledge your need of God and one another. You with me? I'm not going to go through the whole list. Y'all don't freak out. Theology. God, I see that I have lived my life by the love of the law. The letter of the law kills. Spirit of the law gives life, according to Scripture. But help me, Lord, to see how to live by the law of love. So that's how I want you to use this. Just a resource. Look at it. Spend time with it. Pray through it. God, show me. Reveal to me. Pray David's prayer at the end of Psalm 139. Search me, search my heart, know my heart, know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It's a journey.
Hebrews 1, or 11. Lay aside every weight, everything that hinders. Put it aside and pursue and chase after the heart of your Father. Guys, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing better. Nothing better. I pray that we don't wait until we're 80 years old like Derek Prince. I pray that before then we have that experiential relationship that begins to alter and change us. I could talk all night, but I'm going to hush. I love you. This is not a one-time end of the meeting here. Let's resolve it right now. This requires action. This requires continued movement. Get with somebody who knows the love of the Father deeper than you do. Spend time with them. Spend some time. Get the book that I mentioned. Read it. Meditate on it. Get in the Word of God. Make this your focus for the year. I'm going to get this mess of an orphan heart and an orphan spirit out of my life, out of my heart, and I'm going to pursue sonship and relationship with the Father in a way that I never have before. Make it a focus. Make it a priority. Follow that path. It'll change you. Amen? Father, we love you. We thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for the patience of these dear people. It's almost 8. So, Lord, I'm praying by your Spirit you come. Come and touch us. Come in this moment. You don't need much time. You just need 1 second, one moment where your Spirit impacts and alters our life forever. And I'm asking you by your Spirit, Father, use everything we've discussed so far this week. Speak to our hearts. Transform us. Change us by your Spirit. We submit to you. We want to walk in obedience to you. You're a good Father and you love us. And you'll never ask anything of us that's not for our good. Help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.